Well, welcome again to Cedar Creek. We are doing things a little bit differently this morning. This is our annual State of the Church address. And this is, we do this every year. We've done it for many, many years. And it's a fun time. This is one of those things where there's two schools of thought on this. How many people watch like the State of the Union address when the president does it or the State of the State address? Some people love those things. Some people love them. They can't wait and they like to hear them. Some people just never watch them at all. It's the same here. Some people love the State of the Church address. It's their favorite Sunday. Other people, not so much. So, but we do it to give us kind of a snapshot of where we are as a church. It's something we've done every year for a long time. So that's what we're going to do today. So here's how it's going to go. Mark and Justin and I will spend the next few minutes going through three different kind of big areas of the church. Mark will start. He'll talk about finances. Then I will take over and I'll talk about church leadership structures, things like that. Then Justin will step in and talk about our staff here at the church. Mark will drop his microphone and pick it back up. Okay, we got that good. Then we're going to have someone come up and just share a little bit of what God has done in his life here this past year at Cedar Creek. And then we believe we're going to have time left over at the end for questions. So as we're talking, if you have questions, please hang on to them, and we're going to have time to talk about them at the end. Right? Are we good to go? So Mark, you ready to go?
They gave me a trick chair here.
Hey, stop that or you'll be hurt.
Yeah, yeah. How do they know I would pick this one?
I don't know.
Rob said he tied it up.
I did.
Yeah, right. Not very well.
Are we on?
Okay. All right. Can I borrow your podium, sir?
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you. Well, like Rob mentioned, I'm going to talk a little bit about finances. And finances is one of those things, they don't get me too excited. I don't know about you, but money is, it's necessary, but it's not something I get too excited about. We need to pay the rent, we need to pay the heat, and all that sort of thing. That's same thing at home. And the church has financial requirements, you know, as we go along. And as I was getting ready for this, I wanted to read. I found a portion in Scripture that I hadn't noticed lately, and it's in 1 Chronicles 29, and it is in the context of David. King David was near the end of his life, and he had wanted to build a temple for God, a place that God could dwell and they could worship there. And God had told him, it's not going to be you to build the temple. It's going to be your son, Solomon. And so David was accumulating things, equipment, supplies, materials to build this temple. And he asked the people to bring gold and silver and wood and stone and all these things. And he gathered them all up and the people responded. And David gave of his own resources. And then it's interesting in 29, and talking about David's blessing the people and talking about this, and he said, he's seeing all this come in, and he said, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, speaking to God. All things come from you. And then down in verse 16, it says, Lord, out of all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand, and it is all your own. And farther on, he says, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. And I see a picture of generosity. David was impressed by the generosity of his people, and also recognizing that it was all from God anyway. And they were giving it back. And so generosity and stewardship, that's really what I think describes finances at church. The church doesn't sell anything. We don't make anything and sell it. But people contribute of their own resources to the church. You all, us all, contribute together generously. And then we're called to be good stewards of that. How do we use that resources? So generosity and stewardship. And it's sacrificial to give of our own resources. That there's other things we don't buy because we give. And the church is blessed by that. And we as pastors are blessed by the generosity of Cedar Creek. And it comes from God's hand. We're only giving back what he's given us. And it's given in faith. And then there's a verse in Luke. And the next slide there, Luke. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. This is the stewardship part. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? We want to be faithful with our finances here. And faithful is kind of twofold. Faithful means dealing with it wisely, right? Being faithful to use it wisely and not waste it. Also, faithful is taking steps of faith in investing our resources in the kingdom of God. So that's faithful. So we're going to just, I'm going to provide some facts about our finances and then where some of it goes and how we are stewards. So start out with the first slide here. Finance, this is contributions and general expenses. For the year, contributions were a little over $340,000. Our budget is $300,000. And so that was there's an overage of $40,000 plus. General expenses were just under budget. So we're careful with our money. We're going to, our staff like Justin and Nancy and Kim, they're careful with how we spend what we have. And the big picture are assets and liabilities. For those of you finance people, assets are what you have, right? The value of the things you own. We have fixed assets, our buildings and our land with which we've been blessed. That's a little over $1.5 million in fixed assets. And then current cash assets of $428,000+. So oftentimes we say we're in a secure financial position. Security is sometimes an illusion. We are in a positive financial situation. Very positive.
No debt.
And yeah, and our liabilities, that's the things we owe other people. Mortgages, outstanding debts, and we don't have any. So that's a real blessing as well. So, okay. So where we also spend money on missions. Last year, it's been a year, right?
Yeah.
Last year, well, formerly we worked through our region of churches where we corporately together financed many missionaries. And last year we changed the way we did that. So locally now we have selected, we have a mission board that makes recommendations about where and who we should support. And these are the programs and people that we regularly support on a monthly basis. Locally, Hope Gospel Mission we support on a monthly basis. Feed My Lambs International in Mexico. More Rejoicing. Pioneer Bible Translators, Reliant Mission, Run Global, and Sacred City Church, church plant in Rhode Island. Now, I ran right through those. Next week, we're going to have kind of a continuation of this, and we're going to talk specifically about these mission, various missions and missionaries. And so we'll share with you what they're up to. We're getting status reports from them, and so we'll go into a little more detail about that. But these are the seven that we are committed to this last year, and now we've just renewed our commitment to these for this coming year as well. So next slide. And then we also give special gifts through the year as opportunity arises. And I should have started out by saying that all of the financial decisions here greater than $200 are made by the Board of Trustees. There isn't any one individual that can spend more than $200, or is it $500? I think it's $200. You know, without the trustees.
Obviously, we never spend it.
We don't spend it. Yeah. So the trustees make these decisions. So these things go to the trustees. So there was the collective choir, a local ministry, we contributed some to them as they began a new venture in downtown Eau Claire with youth. GCLA, the Dominican Republic, that's the church that the mission team is going down to in a few weeks, shared a gift with them. Minnesota Teen Challenge for drug and alcohol rehab, we made a contribution to them, a special contribution to that church plant in Rhode Island to Run Global, Feed My Lambs, because we have that monthly budget. But then there's a little extra for that. The board then can make recommendations about other additional contributions. Eileen Pendleton came and visited. She's been a missionary in Mexico for many years. And then Rob made a trip out to Rhode Island to spend some time with Jacob out there, who's pastoring that church. So, all right, I think. And then lastly, benevolence. We have a benevolence account, and so that money is distributed by the Board of Trustees for various needs. Sometimes it's local organizations that ask us for contributions. Sometimes it's needs within our church family that we become aware of. So we contribute $100 a month to CareLink. That's if someone calls a church and has housing, someone unknown to us has housing needs or wants money for bus ticket or whatever, we can refer them to CareLink. Many churches in our area contribute to that, and so we collaborate with them. Good News Jail Ministry, it's an annual event they have, a fundraiser. We help out with that, and Hope Gospel as well. One of the Hope Gospel there also, they were, you maybe saw in the news recently, they put an addition or updated their men's short stay area, and so we made a contribution to that. And then to various church family needs that we became aware of, just about $4,000. So. Oh, yes, thank you. And I failed to make a slide about this, but last year we had some surplus funds, and we used to have more of a presence on campus, and we got talking about how we could maybe support the work of the gospel on campus. And so we offered to Crew. Crew is Campus Crusade, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ, offer them a grant of $10,000 if they would just let us know what they would use it for. And so they took us up on that. Surprise, surprise. And so they use that money for materials for the beginning of the year, where they do a kind of a fast start to the school year. And for materials that discipleship books, promotional materials, things like that. And then a little over $5,000 for scholarships to short-term mission trip to Cuba, fall retreat, winter conferences, and summer missions for the for this region of Crew. So that was something that we could do to help them. So I believe that's all.
Okay.
Thanks.
We're going to segue into my part, which is leadership. I'll just bounce off of what Mark said, wanting to get back on campus or just have an impact there. That's been such a good thing for Cedar Creek over the years, and we haven't been on there for quite a while. So we gave them the money, but that has, and we were hoping and praying that would open up doors to interact with those folks, with Crew more. And I'm actually speaking at Crew twice here in this coming month, so that's good. I mean, we're just having more of a chance to be connected with those folks. So, all right, I'm going to switch gears now and talk about church leadership. I'm going to talk through some different functions or different bodies of people in the church that provide leadership for the church. And so I'm going to start with the deacons. We have deacons here at Cedar Creek. at the end of this, I'll give you a resource you can go to and look. If you're interested in more of the technicalities of what deacons are and how they function here, we have all of that on our website. And at the end of my part here, I'll show you how to get there. But in basic terms, deacons, we see deacons biblically as men and women who meet certain character qualities, certain character requirements. There's a list of them in 1 Timothy 3 that if someone is a deacon, they need to have these character qualities, exhibit certain character qualities. And so our deacons exhibit those character qualities, and they serve in kind of oversight roles in the church. And there's so many people that serve in the church. So many people, are serving and meet those qualifications, but the deacons are ones who are doing more church-wide oversight. And so here are our deacons heading into 2023. Jim Myers, and if you guys are here, stand up. Jim is here somewhere. I just saw him. Maybe there's Jim back there. Emily Wickman, she's probably teaching Sunday school. Brianna, are you in here? Novacek, there's Brianna. Ryan Rudak, I don't know if Ryan's here. Ryan is just... He's teaching Sunday school. He's just beginning this year. Ryan will be just starting with us this year. Luke Johnson back there. Matt Novacek is right there. And Greg Follinsby, who is back there. These are our deacons. The deacons have all kinds of responsibilities, a lot of them just what they're doing in their respective ministries. There are also other things that the deacons do. One of them is they are in charge of the pastoral reaffirmation process, which I'll explain here in just a minute. Just want to mention, Dan Hedrington has been on the Board of Trustees for several years, and Dan is rotating off this year. Dan, you want to stand up? And Bob, or raise your hand. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped to trustees. I got myself... See, I've been messed up all day once we didn't have a break and everything. I'm sorry. Deacons. I'm talking about deacons now, not trustees. So those are the deacons. Let's jump to trustees, since I was on that anyhow. I apologize. Mark mentioned the trustees. The trustees are the ones who handle the money of the church. All of the finances of the church, the budgets, all of those that... When Mark showed his slides, there was how much money we brought in and how much we budgeted, how much we spent, how much was budgeted. Those budgets, our salaries, all of the financial decisions of the church are handled by the Board of Trustees. And so the trustees, let's see now, Jim, we talked about him. Mark is on the Board of Trustees. Ryan Rudak. Judy Schrader is here. She's on the Board of Trustees. Ryan Rudak, I said that. Deb Wells, is Deb here? Yep, there's Deb, is on the Board of Trustees. So this group of people meet monthly. We set the budget every year, and then we make all the financial decisions that have to come up. Now, Dan was on the Board of Trustees. For then he stood up. Attaboy. Dan was on for many years. He's rotating off. And Bob Parsons, is Bob here? There's Bob right there. Bob was on for even longer than Dan. And Bob graciously told us 2 years ago he'd like to step down, and we're finally letting him. And So the Board of Trustees handle all of the financial decisions. And like Mark said, our pastoral limits are very small. So the money goes through those folks. One more group of people I'd like to introduce, and that's what we call our advisory council. This is a group of people that we put together. Last year was the first year, I believe, or was last year the second year? Last year was the second year we did this. What the advisory council is as pastors, we just thought it would be very good to have a group of people that we can meet with on a regular basis, kind of as needed, but regularly throughout the year, to bounce things off of them and to say, hey, we're thinking about doing this in the church. What do you folks think? Or even just to ask them, What's the tenor of the church that you guys see? So we tried to get a group of people, different demographics, you know, just folks in the church who could advise us on how things are going in the church as we as pastors try to lead well. And so we met last year a handful of times, talked about different things, different topics would come up, and we would just get their advice. And so it really is an advisory council. They don't necessarily vote on things or set policy. They just advise us. They tell us, here's what we see, here's what we think, here's what we feel, here's what we think might be a good thing. And so that crew, if you're here, raise your hand. Brad Blomberg, I know there's Brad. Paul Fila is here. Cassandra Bryan, are you in here? Yep, there's Cassandra. Nikki Rudak, where's Nikki? Right there. Steve Quickert, Steve, you in here? Teaching Sunday School. Matt Novacek. Right there, and Renee Wanicki, I know that they are in the Twin Cities today. So this is a group that really has been a help, I think. It's been a really good change that we made a few years ago. It's just so helpful for us to have people just to be a sounding board and to tell us things we don't even think about or see. And so that's been very, very good and helpful. As a church, we have three pastors, and they're right here. And so that's the last level of leadership that I'll talk about. Justin has been a pastor for how many years?
Three next month.
Seems longer, doesn't it?
I've been on staff for 8 years.
Yeah.
So.
And you've been a pastor for 7 years. Wow. And I've been a pastor for 32, I think, years here. So, long time. But the three of us are the pastors here at the church. There's a lot we could talk about regarding things like this, but what I'd like to do is just let you know two things that are coming up specifically as they have to do with the pastors. And the first one is, I'd mentioned it earlier, we have a every other year we do a pastoral reaffirmation. And what this is it's a chance for the church, chance for you to weigh in on whether you believe, how you think the three of us are doing. It's not really a job performance review. It's more of pastors in the Bible also have to meet certain character qualifications. Pastors in the Bible have certain responsibilities. What this is about, what the reaffirmation is about, is a chance for you to weigh in on that, to say, yes, I think my pastors are doing well. I think they meet those qualifications. Or, I'm not sure. I have questions. Or, I have concerns. It's you guys see things we don't see, and so it's very important for us to be accountable in that way. So we've set up this system where every other year there's an opportunity for you to weigh in on this. It's going to happen this year. How that works, I mentioned that the deacons have a big role in that. The group of deacons meet by themselves, independently of us, and they choose three of that group of deacons to conduct the pastoral reaffirmation. Then what happens is we let everybody know well and ahead of time, here's a 2-week time period, and in this 2-week time period, we're asking you to go to those deacons, those three deacons, they'll let you know who they are when they select them. In that 2-week time period, you can go to those deacons and say, I think this about my pastor. I think I have this question. I have this concern. I have this. I think they're doing great. Whatever it is, you don't talk to us. You talk to them. Those deacons then put together a report, bring it back to the whole group of deacons. If there are concerns or questions, the deacons then look into those. If there was a question raised or a concern raised, there's an investigation done. And then when all of that is done, the deacons prepare a report. Yes, we recommend reaffirmation of the pastors, or possibly not, you know, and that will be presented to everyone. So that's coming up this year. So just know here, probably in the spring, there'll be a time period where if you have thoughts about us, there'll be a group of the deacons who will be presented to you that you can share those thoughts with them. The other thing we do pastorally is we do have performance reviews, pastoral performance reviews. Each of us has a job description, and so that job description is taken by a group of people, and each pastor gets a basically a job review, like many of us do in whatever jobs. And that the ones who do the pastoral performance reviews are, for example, for me, it would be these two guys, one of the trustees, and one of the deacons. So those four people would be the ones who would conduct mine, and then that's how that works. And that happens every year. We get a performance review every year. That's it, except for this next slide. If you have questions about any of those things, about the deacons, about the board of trustees, about the advisory council, or about the pastors, the reaffirmation, all of that stuff, you can go to our website. If you go to seacreek.org, click on the About tab, go down, click on the position papers and policies, then you'll see all of these documents. That first one, pastoral leadership and authority, that lays out how we... Basically that. What authority do pastors have at Cedar Creek? How do we conduct that authority? It lays out the reaffirmation process in there. All of the things that relate to pastoral responsibilities are in that one. Then there's two papers on deacons. There's one that lays out the how we see deacons, and then a deacon position paper, which is just our biblical basis for why we've done deacons that way. And the final one is the Board of Trustee member description. It lays out the roles and the responsibilities of the trustees.
Awesome.
Just before Justin gets started, I failed to mention, if you have interest in more detail about the finances, there is a single-page document on the round table outside. If you want to see a little more detail, help yourself to that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start off by introducing Pastor Rob, who's going to talk a little bit about his role as a pastor and what he does here at church.
But you get it.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be going through the staff, what we do here, what our staff does, what they're up to, kind of give you an idea of what goes on behind the scenes. But first, the pastors are going to talk about what they're up to.
Yeah. Okay. So I am on staff. I've been on staff for many, many years. Here's just a little bit of a background. Before I get into that, I've been a pastor since 1993. So I guess it'll be 30 years this year. I'll have been a pastor here. I turned 60 this year, and I am beginning to recognize that I'm not going to be a pastor here forever. and that's good. And so we and my wife and I, we want to manage that transition well. Sue and I have been part of this church. I've been a part of this church since I got saved back in 1983. This is our home. This is our spiritual family. So we have no desire to go anywhere. But there just needs to be a transition as I slowly transition out of being a pastor. By the time I'm 70, I think the plan is that we've talked about is I will be down to maybe one day a week, maybe less than that, depending on what I'm capable of doing, but we're slowly working in that direction. So with that background, I am down to 4.5 days a week. Last year, I went from 5 days a week to 4.5 days a week. So I'm not completely full time. That will keep going. We'll keep adding half days off a week for the year as time goes on for this next decade until we get to that point where I'm down to, you know, whatever I'll be. One of those 4.5 days, I actually work for our region of churches, and they pay for that part of my salary. We're part of a region of churches that includes a couple churches in Wisconsin, several in Minnesota, and some in North Dakota. And so I'm on the executive team of that of our region, and I get paid one day a week from them. What I do throughout the week is my normal routine is I'm in the office here Tuesday through Friday in the mornings. Then in the afternoons, I either go home or I'm meeting people. When I'm home, I'm doing Zoom calls. I'm doing answering emails, doing things like that. So I'm here in the morning. I am at home or meeting with people in the afternoons and evenings. If you need to get a hold of me, the best way to get a hold of me is to email me. I don't have a cell phone, and I oftentimes am not picking up my home phone. So just shoot me an email, and I see that regularly. And I am and what I do a lot here at the church is I meet with people. I speak on Sunday mornings. I work with these guys quite a bit. But I am very much wanting to be available and connected to everybody. I spend a lot of time meeting with folks. So if you have questions for me or want to get together with me, the best way to track me down is to shoot me an email. Last thing I'll say about me is we have a sabbatical policy that you can find on that same place that those other position papers were. I'm in the rotation. I'm up for a sabbatical this year, so I will be taking a sabbatical this coming fall, and we'll talk much more about that as we get close to that. But that's in my future.
Now, Pastor Mark is going to share about his role.
All right, I like Rob said earlier, I've been a pastor here for 7 years. I was for 6 of those years, I was what they call a bivocational pastor. I was working full-time or nearly full-time at another job. And for this last year, I'm not doing that anymore because I retired from that other job. But I still am just part-time here, quite a bit more part-time than Rob. I'm quite a bit younger than Rob, too.
You are not. That's not true.
But what I do is...
Remember that in the reaffirmation process. Just...
Okay, I am older than Rob. You know, Rob mentioned teaching. We are, you know, we're all a different, you know, Rob's been doing this for 30-some years. You know, we are a team. We believe there's real benefit in plurality. And so we gather to talk about, you know, the teaching schedule. What are we going to go through? How are we going to split it up? You know, and there isn't a hierarchy. Nobody gets more than one vote, you know, and we don't usually come down to a vote on things. But it's a great thing to work together as a team. What I have done over the years, I've overseen life groups. That during COVID, that's kind of slowed down, and I need to this coming year. I really want to give some effort to shore up and encourage life group leaders. And so that's one of my roles. I'm also kind of the point pastor for the Awana program. So try to stay in touch with them. And yeah. And a growing population here at Cedar Creek is my population, our population, you know what I'm talking about. People with gray hair, maybe. Anyway, we really want to begin to address more and more, because God isn't done with us. We want to continue to be a moving part of this church. So that's my role.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, the three of us do work. The term we technically use is plurality. We get together weekly, and I don't know if we've ever come down to a vote. Have we ever really had a vote? I think we've had dissenting opinions. But there's always been mutual submission within the pastoral team, and so it's quite good. We can debate theology, we can debate decisions here in the church quite a bit, and know that a lot of discussion and sometimes weeks and weeks and weeks of getting together for hours goes into some of the things that happen here. So I'm going to be talking about my role here for a minute, and then talking about some of our other full and part-time staff here. I have two roles here at Cedar Creek. I am a pastor, but I'm also an operations manager. And 8 years ago, in 2015, I was brought on board here as the operations manager. And I do a lot of things in the church. I'm in charge of office management. So I'm managing all the staff here at the church. Technically, I manage Mark and Rob to some degree when it comes to coordinating calendars and things like that. So I work with the staff here. I oversee the staff here. I work with a lot of you who are volunteers or leaders of various ministries. You guys get in touch with me, and we work through things like that. I make sure that things around here work smoothly. I try to help organize our administrative assistant, janitorial, the ministries, all the things going on with that. And really, that's just a lot of coordinating the day-to-day activities and that kind of stuff. I forgot to say, you know, we're talking about operations manager. I have the Noah Webster's 18... No, I'm just kidding. No definitions here. I manage what's going on in the office here on a day-to-day basis. I'm also I'm not in charge of the Board of Trustees, but I manage the Board of Trustees. I'm the secretary there, so I work with all the board members. I put together agendas. This is what we're going to talk about. I'm the guy you guys talk to bring things to the board. When the board makes decisions, I liaison those decisions to ministry leaders. When the board makes decisions, I make sure those things come to fruition, that they actually happen. So that is my role with the Board of Trustees. So I've been doing that for 8 years now. I also help with some financial management. Now, what I mean by that is if you're a ministry leader, you have a budget, likely. And you guys know who you are. You know I work with you every year. We get together. We talk about, we either get together by email or we get together face-to-face. We go through your budget from the previous year and talk about what your needs are for the coming year. So that is one of the other things I do. That's a big process at the end of every year. Let's see here. Facilities. I work with the facilities. What I mean by that is grounds here. I help make sure we have somebody mowing the lawn. I make sure that when the toilet doesn't flush, I go in and replace the guts, or I find somebody else like Don to do it for us. So I'm working on that kind of stuff, making sure we've had furnaces go out on Sunday morning. So I'm the guy here calling the furnace guy saying, hey, we really need you. It is 35 degrees in our sanctuary. So I manage the facilities. I also manage communications. What I mean by that is I help Nancy communicate with you guys. I help Kim if she has some communication. I'm the guy managing the website. So if there's a website issue or some background programming issue, I get to learn C++ on my spare time and make sure things are working well. And then I also assist the ministry leaders here. So that's really nuts and bolts what the operations manager does. I just have my fingers kind of dipped a little bit in everything that's going on here. I'm also one of the pastors. I got appointed 3 years ago in February, about 6 weeks before COVID hit, so you can blame me for that. It was a very fun first year working through how to manage things here and learning to be a pastor alongside Mark and Rob. Technically, I teach 10% of the Sunday mornings, so five times a year. That's going to need to probably be revised because I do a little bit more than that. But I have a very similar role to Rob and Mark. We get together weekly. We discuss things that are going on in the church. I answer phones and talk to you guys about stuff going on in your life. I pray for a lot of you regularly, and so that's really my role there. So we have one thing I want to note here is as I move into the pastoral role, we're looking to move me out of the operations management role. So we are starting to look towards replacing that position, and that kind of will tie into the next one. But we are looking for somebody to take over that role for me. And I don't know if I have anything more to say about that at the moment, but we are looking to replace that role of mine. We also have an administrative assistant here. She's been on staff for, what did she say? Was it almost 20 years?
Yeah.
2000, early 2000s. Nancy Zellinger. She's out ill this morning, but she's our administrative assistant. She's kind of like a secretary. She's the gal in the front office. I think if you've been here, you've met Nancy. She does a lot of our office administration. She moved to halftime a couple years ago, and she is looking to retire in spring of 2024. So we are also going to be looking for a way to replace her role. And one of the things that we're considering is bringing someone in to do the operations side part-time and then also part-time her and kind of learn and train to plug in a full-time position where this person would take potentially both the ops side and the administration side. I would keep some of my roles as ops guy, but I don't know if we're in the very early planning stages of that.
But it's yes. Well, yes and no. We've been talking about this for a few years, really recognizing that Nancy is going to retire and that especially as I transition out more, you need to transition in more to less ops stuff. So this is kind of a big deal for us. We're looking at 2023, 2024, and really hoping that we can get that transition made.
That
we would be able to find and hire an ops person and or an admin person, whether that's one person doing both roles or two separate people. We're unclear about that. It might depend on who does it. So if that's something that you have thoughts about, please come and talk to us, because that is definitely something that we'd like to see move forward sooner rather than later.
Yeah, when I say we're in the early stages, I mean on the technical bits part, where we don't know exactly how it's going to work out. But so Nancy, she is our administrative assistant. She's the gal in the front office. She does a lot of the communication with you guys. She works with our church calendar, makes sure that if we have like six events in the building, you guys all know where you can go and you're not bumping into each other. She oversees the office budgets, so that's like our copier and the things that go on in here, making sure those things stay in check. And she works with Jim on financial things, making sure stuff gets distributed to you guys, like our end-of-the-year giving statements. She takes care of all of that. And she also supports a lot of the ministries alongside myself, the two of us working together with you guys to make sure all this stuff happens here at church. Lastly, we have Kim. She is our custodial gal. She's our janitorial staff. She works pretty hard here keeping the building clean. So while Nancy does a lot of the back end administrative stuff, Kim is the gal here when we spill coffee, when we have a kid get sick, or the bathroom goes crazy. She's the gal who takes care of all of that. So she does all of our regular cleaning. She does carpet scrubs a couple times a year in here when they get bad. She manages all of our, I don't want to call them perishables, but you know, the toilet papers, the paper towels, all of that, our coffee syrup, our coffee. She makes sure all of that is well stocked and we have all the supplies we need. And then she has a few other miscellaneous tasks that she's up to. But you have some? No. So that is so Kim is full-time, Nancy is half-time, I'm full-time, part-time.
Yeah, if you see Kim, neither Kim nor Nancy are here today. Right? They're both?
No, they're both.
If you see them, thank them, because they do so much work. You know, we come on a Sunday morning and the place is clean and everything's where it's supposed to be. It's because those two worked hard all week. And that's the honest truth. They work so hard and they've been here so long. If you see them, thank them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the next thing we have is a testimony.
Yeah. Again, in a minute here, we're going to have time for questions. If you have questions, we're going to have plenty of time to do that. But what we wanted to do right now... Oh, go ahead.
Oftentimes, during the State of the Church, you might think, well, we haven't talked about ministries, or we haven't talked about vision, or where we're going. Come back next week.
Yes.
We're going to continue this bit of this conversation, but more looking at the mission of the church, the vision of the church, and how we're getting there. So that's hasn't been left out. That's next week.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that, and we'll also talk about more details about our missions involvement. So
yeah, absolutely. Come back next week, because we're going to talk about these things. And what we wanted to do, I'd invite Matt to come up here. You know, Mark mentioned the mission and the vision of the church and all the stuff we talked about there. You know, the vision, the mission of the church is not to make money. The vision of the church is not to have a well-oiled. You might want to take the other one. This one's going to die. You know, not necessarily to have a well-oiled organizational structure. Those are just tools. Those are tools that we use to accomplish what we really want to accomplish, and that's this, that men and women would be introduced to and grow in a relationship with God. We are here to meet with and honor and serve and love and be loved by and follow God with our lives. That's what this is all about. All the stuff we talked about here, it's just tools that help us to do it together, help us to do it as well as we can. So I thought it would be fun and important for us to have to hear a story about that. Because sometimes at the State of the Church, you hear the financial numbers, you see those things, and it's great, and it's wonderful, and it's helpful. But all of that, if we didn't have what we're going to hear next, it just would really not mean much. It really would. It would just be kind of going through the motions for no reason. So I talked with Matt here. Matt, why don't you introduce yourself?
So I'm not sure how many of you actually know me. I mean, I mingle with a few of you guys here, but I'm sure not everybody knows who I am. So my name is Matt Lloyd. I've got a large family of five children. So Rob asked me to share my story with you guys, and many of you were actually kind of part of my story. So last July, Rob had baptized me, and we're kind of going to share some of that with you here today. So,
yeah, this is a story that started several years ago and kind of came to fruition some last year, right?
Yeah, so roughly 2 years ago, I'm kind of generalizing here, but so about 2 years ago, my wife Caroline kind of came to me, and she had discussed with me that there was some things going on in our marriage, and she wasn't completely happy with things. We were kind of just going through the motions of being a married couple, and I had also been struggling with some sins of my own at the time. And so this same conversation with Caroline kept coming up. I would say, I don't know, we'd have a talk, and things would kind of get smoothed over for a little while, maybe 2-3 weeks, a month or something would go by, and but ultimately this same conversation would come up, and really nothing would change other than the fact that, yeah, we talked about it, things aren't great, nobody's really super happy with the state of our marriage. And like I said, I've been struggling with some things of my own. So I had, at the time, I thought I was doing a pretty decent job of being a husband, being a father. So some of the conversations that we had had were a little bit, I don't want to say confusing for me, but I was a little bit taken aback by the things that we had talked about. So I would say about a year goes by, maybe a little bit longer. Caroline tells me that she requested I go and talk to Rob and kind of bring up some of the issues that we had been having. So I respected her wishes, and I contacted Rob, and we began to talk. And I'll be honest, I was kind of confused. I didn't know what talking to Rob was going to resolve or what it was going to do for the whole situation. But I did. I met with Rob. We met several times over probably the course of a year, right? And I'd shared with Rob that I had a desire just to be a better provider spiritually for my family, a better husband to Caroline, and just be a better godly person overall. And we had continued to meet for a while there, and Rob's schedule got busy, my schedule got busy, and we kind of fell away from our weekly meetings that we had done for a while. And let's see, sorry, bear with me, I'm trying to not read completely off my notes here and just tell you out of my heart, but it's not exactly the easiest thing for me.
Yeah, and Matt, if I could maybe spark here.
Yeah.
So we kind of stopped meeting, but then things started to kind of spiral downward for you again, right? After we'd stopped meeting, things kind of started coming back somewhat.
Yeah, so Caroline and I had another kind of spat, I guess you could say. She had brought up some things to me where I knew that if I didn't make a change in who I was as a husband and as a father, marriage was going to be really hard, harder than it already was, and we probably weren't going to be married for a very long time. So at this point, I'm fed up with my condition, the condition of things at home, and I came back to Rob. And we started meeting up again, and I expressed some of these things again to Rob. And ultimately, I was at a breaking point. I had had to really get on my knees as a Christian and talk to God and bring a lot of these struggles to God and lay it on Him. But we got to a point, Rob and I decided that it would be a great thing for me to be baptized, and I came to that conclusion after reading the verse of Acts 2:38, and it says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." So I'm going to add on to that. I've kind of discovered throughout this story that you can have all the desire in the world to repent of something that's a thorn to you or a sin in your life, but my opinion is that true repentance isn't going to come to you unless you really are at a breaking point and really get on your knees and basically give everything to the Lord. And I truly believe that Rob baptizing me back in July was a huge thing in my life to help get rid of some of that in my life. And ultimately, since I was baptized, I can honestly tell you that the things I struggled with in the past, as far as sin goes, have not come back into my life. God has really gone to fight for me and essentially cut the devil's head off as far as my sin goes. I'm by far not a perfect person now, but I don't know how to express to you the work that God has done just through some of the sins that he's washed away through my baptism. And I'd also like to share Romans 6:4-7 with you. It says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin."
That's a great story. So just to kind of summarize, tell me if this is right. You just got to a point where you were desperate, right?
And yes.
A lot of people get to that point, but you didn't just walk away or didn't just wallow in it. You turned to the Lord. You got down on your knees.
Yeah, and with that, I had been struggled with the sin portion of this story has really been in my life for a very long time. It hasn't just been the 2 years that this story kind of transpires through. But anyway, the sin portion has been with me for a very long time, and I've tried to do things to get rid of it on my own, and it's not something you can do on your own. You need to go to God.
Yeah, yeah. And you did that. You went to God. But then God kind of laid something specific in front of you, this idea of baptism, and you obeyed. You did it.
Right.
You stepped into it. I love that verse when you shared with me what you were going to share. I'm just going to read it again because
yeah.
I think it's so powerful. The verse that Matt just shared, it kind of summarizes this story, I think. It says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in death like this, he will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." And it's really a story of getting set free from things, because you turned to God and responded to him. Well done.
Amen.
Well done.
I want to just say that Rob had asked me to share this story with you guys a little over a week ago, and at first I kind of struggled a little bit. I was like, yeah, I don't really want to share my story, but I've been reading in the book of Romans right now, and I can't quote the exact verse, but basically in Romans 5, there's part of the verse is talks about struggles. Maybe Rob can help fill in on this. But basically, struggles produce a certain series of characteristics, and I think one of them is the end one is hope, I believe. And Reading that verse, I just told myself, or God spoke to me and said that this is you sharing your story is what needs to happen for not only the His works throughout my story, but to maybe help some of you guys out there. And I think it just helps you be a stronger Christian and a stronger person overall.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thanks for sharing the story, and thanks for responding to God. Let's give me. Okay, well, we have a little time left, and we would like to just open it up for questions. If people have questions about anything that you heard today, and if we don't, that's fine, but if you do, we would like to let folks ask questions. So I'm just going to throw it out there. Anyone have something they would like to ask?
Amy in the back. Oh, yes. So the question was, we didn't talk about our bookkeeper or finance position. So Jim Myers has been managing our books for us. He's the chair of the board. He is one of our deacons, I believe. So he has been taking care of that position. Thank you. Any other questions?
Wow, we did a great job of explaining things, didn't we? Or thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I think you guys are doing a fantastic job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We think you guys are doing a fantastic job. Really. This church is it's a family, and it's a body, and it is what it is because all of us are part of it. So thank you, and we feel the same. Anyone else? We don't have to belabor it. Yeah.
What are we doing with all that property in the way back that we bought like a decade ago?
Rob, you can take that one.
We're holding baptisms.
Yeah. We did a baptism.
We had one.
Well,
just came with the deal.
What he's referring to is the building here sits on a 6-acre chunk, but then after we built this building and had this building some years after, there's another 10 acres just to the north of us down in the it borders Otter Creek, and we bought that from the people who owned this chunk, and so we own that. We own 16 acres total here. It's a unique piece of property down there. It's some of it's in the city of Eau Claire, some's in the town of Washington. You can still hunt turkeys and deer down there if you want, with a bow and arrow. But we have plans. We're hoping to develop that some, not a ton. The most current thought is that we would use it to do summer camps with kids. If you're familiar, we do the Sportsman's Banquet, which raises money, and we use the money that we make at the banquet to fund our youth rendezvous out at Westgate, where we just invite kids from the whole city to come, and we share the gospel, we pass out Bibles, but they shoot the .22s and the shotguns and all that kind of stuff. We're looking to expand on that with this property down there, where we would do like a 4-day long weekend camp for kids, where there'd be places they could camp down there. We would there'd be devotions in the morning. We would set up an archery range down there. Perhaps we'd get in the canoes and float down Otter Creek to the Eau Claire River, and then float down the Eau Claire River to Olson's Ice Cream and eat ice cream. But things like that. So that's what's on the docket right now. It's very early stages, but we're thinking about that. Yeah, Aaron. They would. The question was, would the crew staff be willing to come in and talk to us? Yes, we've talked about that. I've talked about that with Lee Rickert, and he's very willing to do that. And so that's a good reminder. We'll make that happen. Anyone else? The cookies and coffee are waiting, so... You can have cookies and coffee. Yes, you can. Last call. Otherwise, we'll pray. And again, just a reminder that we're actually going to continue the State of the Church address next week, and Mark mentioned it, but there's going to be two things on the docket. One is really walking through the church's vision and mission. Why are we here at all? What are we trying to accomplish? How are we trying to accomplish it? Lay that out clearly. And then talk about all of the different mission organizations and missionaries that we support as a church, and just get more specific about them. So that's next week. Yes. Are we going to talk about the other side of the wall, the Sunday school and stuff?
I presume so, since kids are part of our mission and vision.
Yes.
I don't...
Yes.
You're speaking particularly what we do over there.
Yeah, like what do we do? Maybe just an update, teaching and who's in charge.
That's a good... Yep. We'll look into that. That's a good thought, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes, Don. March 3rd, Friday, March 3rd, yes.
Welcome. It's a free dinner. You can hear all about what crews involved with all around. They will ask if you want to support them, of course, financially. But I know there's always an open invitation.
Yeah. Annual. Yeah. Yeah. That's coming up March 3rd, the crew annual dinner, yeah. All right. We're going to pray. You want to pray, Mark? And then we'll be done.
God, we are grateful. We thank you that you are the one that's responsible for all that we do here. We try to pursue your kingdom here and help us as a local church, just as a body, as a family. We want to do that, and we just thank you for the generosity and the stewardship of resources. We thank you for the involvement of so many in making what goes on here happen. God, it's all for you. Help us remember that. We can get caught up in the details and the who's doing what. What are we up to? But God, I pray that we would attend to you. We would be looking to you and how we might seek your kingdom here in Eau Claire, here in the Chippewa Valley, here on earth. And we thank you that you go with us. We aren't alone. You're here among us whenever we're together and as we go. So we just recognize that you are, Lord, you're head of the church, and we're grateful for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, folks. See you next week.